Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello! And welcome aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I am Paul Gallant, and it is Tuesday, February 7th of 2023. Tuesday is the worst day of the week, but we will make it the best day of the week on this radio program of ours. Lots of stuff to cover. Yesterday was the NFL Super Bowl opening night. So you heard all sorts of audio and sound and video from said Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the most controversial figure in this game, how he has indirectly affected the Houston Texans, and we'll debate whether or not he's like me. Also, I want to know a Houston Texans take that you have that other people think you're crazy for. Something that maybe people think you're into a little bit of the ganja when you have that take and you actually air it out. Hey, man, Davis Mills just needs the right offensive coordinator, man. I know there's at least one of you listening right now. Or maybe it's another one, like how maybe it's D'Amico Ryans isn't the most important coach that the Houston Texans hire. Hey, Sean Mapes behind the glass, you got a Texans take that people think you're crazy whenever you air it out?
Oh, people don't think I'm crazy, but it is kind of out there that just NRG, bad vibes.
Bad vibes?
Never win in that stadium.
Bad vibes because they never win, or bad vibes because of the people inside?
No, I'm not going to blame the people. It's the building itself, bad vibes. It has a retractable roof that doesn't work. The stadium in which they play is not functional. How do you expect the team to be functional?
It's fine.
It's dysfunction.
It keeps the noise in.
The dysfunction literally starts at the top.
Let's start off talking about last night's Houston Rockets game, though. And of course, the only reason we would talk about the Houston Rockets is if they find a way to outdo themselves with how bleeping awful they've been. And yeah, we are going to come out and we're going to smack this team around, because I understand that there are some people out there who want to be loosey-goosey and let their kids run wild. You probably have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, and you let that little you-know-what run roughshod on you. You go out into the open, and man, the only thing you know how to do to keep things in check is to give them a tablet or an iPad or something like that. And you know what? I'm not judging. But when that person is doing whatever they want, it falls on the person in charge. The Rockets lost on Saturday night 153-121 to Oklahoma City. They lost last night 140-120 to the Sacramento Kings. Both of those teams are good, right? But you've also lost to this same Sacramento Kings team, giving up 139 points to them. You've also lost to this same Sacramento Kings team, giving up 135 points against them. It would stand to reason that if you play that team a third time, maybe you give a little bit more effort on the defensive end. But last night, Sacramento shot 58 bleeping percent from the field, 51 from outside. This is not manufactured outrage. I didn't even watch the game last night, but I did watch the highlights, and my goodness, it is as if they do not care. Who does that fall on? It falls on the head coach. And whenever we've heard Steven Silas talk about this young basketball team this year, what have we heard?
he has been very, very, to be perfectly honest, soft with his criticism of this team. And look, it's one thing to do it privately. It's another thing to do it publicly. But all we have seen from Steven Silas this year has been a guy who seems rather kind, who's willing to overlook some of the mistakes a young team is making. And last night, he decided to change his approach. Here's Steven Silas at his post-game press conference last night after a 141-120 loss to the Sacramento Kings.
They're not giving the effort on the defensive end. They're not getting after it like they're supposed to. They're not getting into their man and fighting over and helping each other. Not doing what they're supposed to do.
Fire and brimstone. For a second, I liked it. Silas continued to criticize the effort of this basketball team, which clearly last night was not doing anything close to enough.
The effort.
Just to close hard or just even the, throughout the possession?
It was getting into the body, getting over the screen, being in help, sprinting the closeouts, doing what we're supposed to do, acting as if it doesn't matter. It matters. Disappointing. These are the lessons we have to learn, I guess, and all that stuff, but that's not right. What we did tonight on that floor was not right. It's not right.
He's saying all the right things. That's what you want to hear from your coach after a loss. But here's the problem. It's taken us until February, right before the trade deadline, not too far away from the All-Star break, for that to come out from the coach. And it is just consistent with who the Rockets have been over the last couple of years, which is an organization that lets its players do whatever they want. And if it was James Harden, you know what? I can't stand the guy, but at least I get it. The guy's won an MVP. When it's Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., guys who have proven bleep in this league, who gives a bleep how talented they are? It doesn't matter. You need to be getting more out of them. What is your job, Steven Silas? You are a teacher. And it takes until now for the gloves to come off? I feel like this change in approach publicly is a sign he's lost control. Why else would you do this? Why else would you bang on the table at this point in the year? You feel like you are not getting to them. So now you are talking to them through the media. Does that work? Does that help? It doesn't. It simply doesn't. And here we are. And I know this is a bad basketball team, and I'm sure a lot of you are like, who bleeping cares? I do, because this, when you see this publicly, when you see a coach start to change who he is, he's done. We just saw it with Lovie Smith, did we not? Remember when Lovie Smith was standing behind Davis Mills until all of a sudden he didn't? Right then, I was out. I'm out here. And I already was out on Steven Silas. I've brought it up a couple of times. But you change your tone like this, you've lost me. Because where the bleep was this weeks ago, months ago? This should have been here for a while. This is a young team. There is some talent here, I think. But it's clearly not being maximized by this guy. And you need to have somebody that actually can do it. He can't. He just can't. To me, it's that simple. At this point, what have you seen to make you believe that he's ever going to get anybody out of it? So you're wasting your time now. I know some people want him to keep coaching up their string so that this team could potentially have a lottery pick or something like that. Why? Why? Because they're not getting better along the way. It is a waste of time. You were essentially saying if you want him to continue to coach the rest of the year, that the remainder of this season is a waste of time. It's not. These players can still improve in some way, shape, or form. And I don't care about this lottery pick stuff that some of you losers out there do. Oh, I want to get the number one overall pick. I want to get Victor Wembanyama. Look, it's a lottery. This isn't like the NFL either. I can understand some criticism for the Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans winning that last game because it did get him out of that number one overall pick. I still think it's loser talk. But in this situation too, like, oh, so you want to have one of the three worst records in the NBA? You're fine. You're going to get it. You are not going to need any help. Steven Silas does not need to continue to pour gasoline on this to get you to the point where you're going to be able to draft Victor Wembanyama. He doesn't need to do any more. I'm out, Sean, and I don't know how you've been feeling. You know way more about basketball than I do, but I am completely done after that. And again, you know, fire and brimstone, I generally like it. But fire and brimstone here, it's so out of place for Steven Silas, and it's, to me, a sign of desperation.
Yeah, it's absolutely desperation. I saw Kelly Eco tweet out something that they've given up, I think, it almost 300 points in the last two games. It's, what, 150 and then 139? So it's understandable that this would be the boiling point, but I do think that drawing the comparison to Lovie Smith, where, you know, around week 10 or 11, you kind of heard the pivot in attitude and, like, just the press conference demeanor from Lovie Smith. And Lovie Smith and Steven Silas were both very similar in that at the start of the year until today, they're both very even keel. Every time they kind of took the, like, long view of, like, listen, we're going to figure this out. We're da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, Lovie Smith hit a point where he's, like, snapping at reporters, and now Steven Silas, he's not snapping at reporters, but like you said, he's talking to his team through the media, which, unless you're Phil Jackson, just does not work.
He does not have the pelts on the wall to do that, just like these players don't have the pelts on the wall to not put in effort on the defensive end, and that disgusts me. And look, I'm old school when it comes to basketball. I'd much rather watch a game where teams are beating the hell out of each other and playing good defense than one of these all-star game kind of games like you saw last night, 140 to 120. Disgusting. It's disgusting, and I get it. It's Steven Silas. It's the last place team in the NBA, and maybe it's a moot point because it's been such a long time, but at a certain point, you're wasting your time, and you're wasting your time with Steven Silas right now. Thomas is in the Heights leading off on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Thomas, what's up?
Hey, man, I can't agree with you more. I liked your analogy to Lovie Smith situation, but I've been off this train pretty early on. I don't check into the Rockets until Christmas Day, and I happened to catch a couple of games during that little win streak we had in November, December. And so at that point, fortunately, I got my hooks up, but, like, there's no signs of any of that fight that we saw from that, whatever that team was those 2 weeks. There's none of that. And if you have a young team, you think the issues are going to be, they just aren't consistently good every night, but that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing guys that, for whatever reason, we don't have an offense that runs through Sagoon. For whatever reason, guys take plays off. And especially with the youth talent, we should be seeing guys that want to play, these vets that they've looked up to for years, and show them up and show that they are a team to become in the future. So I'm out on Silas. I feel sorry for the guy. No reason to fire him because it's an easy explanation for the tank job. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I mean, you need a new coach that changes the entire culture and really lights their butts on fire. Like, hey, guys, y'all aren't going to be in the league, or y'all not going to be the stars that y'all were projected to be if y'all keep playing like this. So I think two vets and a coach that can change the entire culture might do it. But even with that, I'm starting to, I hate to, kind of flame out on these guys, but that doesn't even seem like doable at this point.
I'm with you, Thomas. Everything you said there, like, great call. Every single point. And I also feel bad for Steven Silas because he does seem like he's a good dude. But that doesn't get the most out of your players. And honestly, I go back in time to last year when Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood had their issues with this team, and the Rockets were sort of like, not that big of a deal. I do want to know what John Lucas could potentially provide the rest of the year. Like, why not?
Yeah, he has a good background as an assistant coach, getting a lot out of guys, like, when he works with them personally. So having them as the team, and in the, like, limited times that we have seen John Lucas as, like, the interim coach, where Silas either has COVID or after his dad died, the Rockets play very well.
They do.
It's obviously, it's two games here, one game there. So it's not a large sample size of, like, the differences between those two, but there is something too that when he's sitting in the top chair and you have someone in that head chair that is holding guys accountable, they play better.
They do.
It's amazing.
It's really that simple. And Thomas brought it up. There were a couple of games this year where you saw what this team theoretically could be, and I don't think they're going to be that consistently because they are young. But that game against the 76ers, where James Harden sucked, and it was awesome, and that game against the Suns, Those are two games that I think back at and I'm like, you saw something there, but the last couple of months have been a disaster and they need somebody else, I think, at the absolute top of the food chain here. But my question for you, should he be able to coach the rest of the year, Steven Silas? That's the Paul Gallant Show question of the day. You can answer that on Twitter, at Gallant Says. And do you feel like that speech accomplished anything? Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or at Gallant Says at Shawnee Mapes behind the glass on Twitter. We'll continue this conversation next. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at TGS. If you own your home, you got to listen up and grab that phone because our friends at TGS are about to deliver you big savings on your home insurance and you won't even have to talk to an agent. You're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. Like, playing defense for the Rockets last night. It's not a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And guess what? You're going to probably save a lot of money along the way. So take your phone right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit, and their online rating is nearly perfect. Ooh. And their average customer from 2021 is saving almost $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance. No one likes to shop for anything, to be perfectly honest. But TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. One text message is all it takes for you to get massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in, too. Steven Silas had a viral rant last night after the Houston Rockets debacle. 140-120 loss to the Sacramento Kings, where they allowed Sacramento to shoot nearly 60% from the field and over 50% from outside. I guess they didn't allow 153 points like they allowed on Saturday, but we've gotten to a point where a lot of these players just don't seem to be bringing any effort or any energy. And when you see that, someone's got to go. If you're not going to do it with the players, you got to do it with the coaches. And this team, this organization has become so soft-handed. It's funny. This team historically has been more heavy-handed with people that are partners with the organization for criticizing them than they have been on their own players, going all the way back to James Harden and continuing now with guys who are nowhere close to that guy's level. And by the way, while I'm in a mood, can we talk about the tweet that Ted Cruz had? He retweeted something of Jackson Gatlin, who covers the Houston Rockets. And it was a couple of possibilities that involved James Harden. He just put an eyeball emoji with the retweet of it, which is, by the way, okay, boomer, try harder to get the kids. Forget all this politics. That is an impeachable offense. James Harden will never set another foot back in Texas, build a wall around Texas, not for, you know, all the issues going on to the south, the cartel. No. Build a wall all around Texas, and we keep James Harden out. I do not want this guy back. You think the effort's bad now? Imagine if this guy comes back in. What coach is going to have any power over the rest of the roster if James Harden is back here? Some of you losers got to get over it. Stop texting your ex you up. She doesn't want you anymore. Although Harden might want it here because they accommodated him so much, and he realizes it's easy to take advantage of the entire situation when you have no one who's ever going to breathe down your neck. Ugh.
I wonder how this tweet from Jackson like crossed. I guess it was the For You page, or unless Ted Cruz followed. But then also, like, was this an aide of Ted Cruz
probably.
Or like what?
Probably. What? I imagine it's a young person who is following the naive hopes and dreams of many a Rockets writer out there who are constantly optimistic about this bleeping clown show that can't play bleeping defense.
I will say Jackson is a little on but he's
sometimes
a little
these guys
rose colored glasses,
God,
but he's good.
There's two. Listen, you're right. I get it. You have to be it. You got to have a relationship with the players. You got to highlight the good. But they suck. They're so bad.
Oh, I was just going to say that this is like pure, just like, this is kind of
this is the stupid stuff online.
It's a wild
Look,
tweet.
I'm in a mood. I'm just in a mood. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm in a mood. This is the stuff that you see online that like blows up and this like naive, like hopeless optimism. It's like, can we stop pretending that we're going to win the lottery tomorrow? Good God.
Never mind win the lottery. So it starts. I
mean the NBA lottery, not even the real lottery.
I'll read it. I'll read this tweet because I feel like we've only talked about how crazy this tweet is. We haven't actually said how crazy this tweet that Ted Cruz reacted to was. So it starts, land Wimby or Scoot. Boom. Done.
That's, by the way,
28% chance of that happening.
Can we talk about who Scoot is for a second?
Scoot Henderson.
Thank you. I don't know who that is.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No, don't be sorry. I think everyone else is like, who the? Because don't the Rockets have a player named Scoot?
Yes.
Doesn't
Kevin
KPJ
Porter,
go by
that's
Scoot?
That's one of his many nicknames.
Okay, yeah. See? Like, now it's getting even more confusing.
Okay, so land Scoot Henderson, a actual point guard.
Okay.
Number two pick in the draft. And then next, it's trade next Nets picks, Milwaukee pick, and a young piece, Jalen or Jabari, depending on Wimby and Scoot. Oh, again, what? Plus filler for Kevin Durant.
Okay.
So we have Wimby or Scoot. Congrats.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
All it took was all the picks and one of Jalen or Jabari, depending on which one of Jalen and or depending on if they got Wimby or Scoot. And mm-hmm. then next, sign James Harden. Boom.
I'll be so mad.
And then there's two options. Now, choose your own adventure, Paul. The Rockets next year are either going to be under Jackson, GM Jackson Gatlin. It's either going to be Harden, Jalen Green, Kevin Durant, Sengun, or Wembanyama.
Huh? Huh?
Or Scoot, Harden, KD, Jabari, and Sengun.
Bullet.
How about that?
Bullet. Give me a bullet. I don't want this. I don't want Harden back here.
Sengun's on both teams.
I don't care if you get Wembanyama and Durant. I don't want this guy back. I don't want him back. Out. Never again. We're not doing this again. He's not. He's pissed off. He didn't make the All-Star game. Oh, my God. Like, how are you mad? You've missed, like, 20 games this year, and you're not the same player you used to be. There was bound to be a year where you aren't going to make it. Sucks to suck. Huh? And they're going to bring this guy back to this organization, which has gone out of its way in the past to kiss his ass. No way. No way he'll completely railroad them and steamroll them again. I need to read some comments. I need to take a deep breath. Goose.
It is crazy drama. How quickly it goes from talking about the Rockets to talking about James Harden.
Listen, I saw that Ted Cruz tweet. It needed to be brought up. Okay? And I don't care about his politics. Impeach him. Just because of that. Sorry, you don't know ball. Hey, your aide, stop being a hopelessly naive, optimistic person. Let the weight of the world beat you down and break you like normal people do. Okay, some texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I did ask, hey, should Steven Silas be allowed to coach the remainder of the year? And also, was that rant a good thing by Steven Silas? A text, 713-780-3776. The Rockets need to hire Kelvin Sampson. As the chief Cougs at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, like Jeremy Brandon, but me, king of the Cougs, I say no. No. I think the Cougs deserve to have this. And also, I don't know that Sampson would necessarily work here, though perhaps some tough college-style coaching is what these players need. Honestly, I do think the next guy's got to go in the complete opposite direction. You need someone to get these guys, let's be perfectly honest, to just toughen up. Look, I hate to suggest Ime Udoka, but like he did that with that Celtics team. I'm not proposing that. I'm just saying that is an option. And the guy's so disgraced. Like, this is probably the only job he could get.
So Wembanyama, KD,
stop.
Jabari,
stop.
Jalen, Harden.
You know what? Remove the Harden part. I'm good with
it. And the disgraced former Celtics coach Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
Okay.
HRW on the Twitch says coaching the Rockets is like herding cats. Well, herding cats is fun.
Is it fun? It doesn't seem fun.
You're hanging out with a bunch of cats.
But the cats are, the point is that they're running away from you.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
But if you.
It's hard work.
See, you people don't know how to handle a cat. You guys are just,
what do you mean,
amateurs.
People?
You people. You people that, you shame me. I like dogs. I like cats. Ooh, Paul's a cat guy. Sorry. Some people know how to herd cats.
Oh, I didn't know you were a cat dad.
That was sarcastic. Chris from Sam Houston on twitch.tv/ESPN975. Sean is twisting the knife a little bit this morning. I'll sacrifice the current talent's development for the chance at Wembanyama. It just isn't often that there are clear number one picks who has the possibility to change a team in the NBA. But here's the thing, guys. If they're one of the worst three teams in the NBA, they have the exact same percentage chance to get Wembanyama with that first overall pick. I like that they've added this element to it. Because now, I mean, what are you really playing for if you're trying to get the worst record in the NBA? You should try to develop some of these guys along the way. And I don't think there's really any danger of them winning. I don't. But play defense, for God's sake. Battery Chucker on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, Paul, let's say they fire Silas right now and stick John Lucas in there. You honestly think Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green will all of a sudden play harder? Well, sometimes the players need to know the consequences of their actions or lack thereof. A coach getting fired because the players aren't living up to the expectations, some people are going to feel guilty about that. I can't speak for every single player and how they are wired, but there are some who will see a coach get fired and they will think that, oh yeah, it was just the coach's fault. But there are others who will look at themselves in the mirror after a moment like that. And I feel like that's sort of what you're hoping for in a situation like this if you were to make a move, but you are not getting anything new with Steven Silas and the rest of this team the rest of the way this year.
Also, you have to operate under the assumption, just as the Rockets, you have to operate under the assumption of there is a way to get these guys to play hard. Because if there's not a way to get these guys to play hard, if this is who they're going to be for the rest of their career, you kind of should just
blow
trade them now.
Right, exactly. Blow it up.
This is the most they'll ever be worth.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call into text in. We will leave that conversation on the table all show long. What should the Rockets do right now with Steven Silas? Who went on a rant last night. Great, they went on a rant. They lost by 20 after they gave up 153 on Saturday. That rant sure helped. Really, I just don't see the point in continuing this. Coming up next, a quick look around the NFL. Russell Wilson is in for a long year, I think, in Denver this coming season. The first sign of that next, plus a great moment from Andy Reid at last night's NFL opening night. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
We're ready for some football, baby.
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Some comments really quickly before we dive into some football. Text in. Samson was the only coach who was able to get any defense out of Harden. If you're one of those people that talks about James Harden's post defense, blocked. Your number has been blocked from the text line. Yeah, we're going to start doing it. You know what? We're going to start banning people. We're going to start blocking people. Why not? Power's gone to my head today.
I mean, if you look at the BPM, though, of James Harden as the closest defender in post.
Stop. What are we talking about? His BPM, what, his heart rate? Because he was, like, breathing heavily as he was consistently backed down his entire career by any player who actually was good. Remember when Wesley Matthews just kept on backing him down for an entire series in the Portland Rockets series back in the day, and Harden was just gassed at the end of the games because of that? People forget about that because they like to blame Dwight Howard for losing that series. Or they like to blame Chandler Parsons because he couldn't close out on Damian Lillard. Maybe blame James Harden for not doing anything in that series. Oh, but he was efficient. Shut up. Stop.
Most efficient offensive player since Jordan.
No, he was not.
Actually more than Jordan.
Okay, Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, how about another 2-for-18 night from outside? How about that, James? Let's have that. And then some pouting when you don't get fouls called your way, even though you went to the line 18 times. E315, Paulie's estrogen level is at an all-time high today. No, this is just straight anger. I don't know why I'm so vicious today. I really don't. So let's shift to talking about some football. Ooh, shake it off, shake it off. Hey, Sean Payton. Let's move on from James Harden to talking about Russell Wilson. Another easy, easy one-liner for Paul that just loses mind over. So, Sean Payton is now the head coach of the Denver Broncos. He had his introductory press conference yesterday. In the middle of said introductory press conference, he talked about Russell Wilson, and he closed out said comments about Russell Wilson, talking about something that is near and dear to my heart. He started speaking my language.
It's easy to point out what players don't do well, and there's certain coaches that tend to look at it that way, but I kind of was taught early on, hey, what is it they do well, and let's have them do those things. None of us want to go – I don't like singing, period, but none of us want to be at a karaoke bar with a song we don't know the words to. So how do we get them comfortable and highlight their strengths? And that's the process that's going to begin right now is I'm learning about every one of these players, not just Russell.
One, Russell Wilson's strength is throwing the football deep down the field, much like my strength, karaoke-wise, is singing Creed. But on Saturday night, your boy sang Kissed by a Rose by Seal. Did he knock it out of the park? Damn right he did. It's impressive. If I do say so myself, because I am saying it myself. T-Bone's just a fun place to do karaoke on Saturdays. I still will never get over the small, like, 50-year-old woman who got up and started singing Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. It's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in karaoke. Anyway, there's another story that popped up, and this actually involves somebody who is a good friend of mine who used to work with me at 710 ESPN Seattle up in Seattle, Jake Heaps. Jake Heaps used to be the midday show host there, and then after he became Russell Wilson's full-time coach, there were some issues with whether or not he could do the radio show going forward, so he moved to Denver with Russell Wilson for last season, and he's been his quarterback coach. And I guess he has his own office in the Broncos office. The Broncos were really bending over backwards to accommodate Russ last year. Sean Payton was asked about that quarterback coach who's not on the Denver Broncos coaching staff. Here is what Payton had to say.
Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
First sign of conflict between these two. And I wonder if Russ is going to be able to swallow his pride after what was a really bad year for him last season. Is he going to continue to believe that he is different than the rest of the roster? Because he is definitely one of those quarterbacks that removes himself from the rest of the locker room, perhaps more than any other quarterback in the league, based off of my experience covering him up in Seattle. Let's shift to NFL opening night for the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, this is a fantastic way to sort of twist the knife when it comes to his time in Philadelphia, which I think was very underappreciated by Eagles fans.
We've got a lot of close friends with the Eagles. Some of the players, some of those are guys that I had a chance to be in the draft with and bring them in and coach them. And I'm proud of those guys for what they've done. And proud of Howie Roseman for retooling the organization. Nick's done a nice job coaching them. And Jeff Lurie is a phenomenal owner.
Andy Reid, I think, would always be nice if you put a microphone in front of him. Isn't that so patronizing to say that the team you're going up against in the Super Bowl, that you're proud of them? The team that fired you? It is the ultimate high road to the point where I think it's a very subtle diss at the Eagles.
It comes across as a little bit of a pat in the head.
Yeah, like, oh, kinda. You guys, you got back. Which is funny because the Eagles won a Super Bowl without Andy Reid, so there's a reason that Howie Roseman in particular, Jeffrey Lurie, can flex. But this is a very, I think, amusing way to come back, and I'm very curious as to how the average Philadelphian reacts to that, because they will definitely, the little man complex that city has, I'm from Boston, we had the little man complex too, they will 100% react angrily to that.
I think it's something that if they weren't playing Andy Reid, they would like it. But the fact that they're playing Andy Reid, now it becomes, that's the enemy.
I agree, Sean. Are the Are the Eagles going to use this as bulletin board material? We might have to get into a bulletin board material chart because that's like been the dominant storyline throughout these playoffs. He said Burrowhead. Okay, guys.
They wanted to sell tickets to a game, to a neutral site game.
The NFL wanted to continue playing football games this year. It's outrageous.
They almost made us do a coin flip.
Also around the NFL, the Let's Go podcast featuring Tom Brady and Jim Gray. In a really heartwarming moment.
And Larry Fitzgerald.
I know my estrogen might be a little high. Who's that? I don't know. He's not on the same level as my Lord and Savior. But anyway.
And Jim Gray.
I think a lot of people have been saying, scratchy. A lot of people have been saying, you know, my estrogen levels are high today. Well, this made me emotional on the Let's Go podcast.
Just the greatest player, the greatest career, the great, great person. It's such an opportunity and an honor for me to, you know, to coach Tom. And I guess it's got in at some point, you know, but it's the greatest one ever. So congratulations, Tom.
Appreciate it.
I just want to hug them both. What a great moment. Oh, there's acrimony between the two. Greatest partnership in sports history. One last one before we wrap things up. So people think about Jackson Mahomes when they think about the Kansas City Chiefs and TikTok, but you probably forgot about somebody else who used to be a TikTok star and has not done what he used to do before games, which was go to the opposing logo, to the logo of the opposing team if he was on the road, and do a dance to the absolutely terrible, objectively terrible, garbage, dog bleep song Corvette by Little Squiggly Boot McD. I don't know. And it was terrible. Like, no ingenuity, no creativity, not even really that good at dancing. Imagine a white guy calling you out for that. Anyway, Juju Smith-Schuster was asked about, you know, keeping it real on TikTok. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, man, so obviously, whatever you do in life, no matter who you are, you're always going to have negativity. But at the end of the day, you got to stay true to yourself. Be authentic. Be yourself. Don't change for anyone. And yes, I was doing TikTok, and I still do TikTok. Just more so to show my personality to fans. And I promise you, I have more fans that are really not football followers because of the outside social media world. And that could be TikTok. It could be gaming. It could be, honestly, anime. Honestly, anything.
I don't get that. I mean, congratulations. You have a lot of fans outside of the football world who think that your terrible dancing is good. I do not for the life of me understand the TikTok dancing trends. They're not good. And it's like 15 seconds of people like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to do it too. Losers. Give more of your information to China, Juju Smith-Schuster. Traitor! Blood traitor! I'm just kidding. But TikTok is dumb. By the way, follow me on TikTok. @Galant says. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The most controversial figure in this Super Bowl may have paved the way for a recent Houston Texans coaching hire. I will explain how next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Must-win game.
Yeah.
That's Nick Sirianni being asked if the Super Bowl is a must-win game. He said yes. It is kind of funny, though, that sometimes you ask a coach about whether or not a game is a must-win game and they'll dance around it, but it's the playoffs. It's pretty obvious. Someone having a little bit of fun at NFL opening night. For those who don't know, it is a just massive circus. Usually there is a very tightly packed arena. There are coaches and players who all have podiums, and you have to walk through the masses and basically wait around for a really long period of time, hoping that you can ask either an important, informative question or ask something dumb to try to go viral. It's become bigger and bigger every single year. I've done it a couple of times. I think I've done it enough for my entire career. It's nice to look back on and think about. Had a nice interaction with Wade Phillips when he was the defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. That was a lot of fun, but for the most part, just a big, giant, crowded mess there. But we did learn something, or at least I did, about Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So for those who don't know, a storyline that's not getting the same kind of discussion that Andy Reid as the former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles is getting. Nick Sirianni used to be a Chiefs assistant coach. But when Andy Reid took over the Kansas City Chiefs, Sirianni was let go by Andy Reid. And Sirianni said that he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder for that. Do you always have the little chip on your shoulder? Sure, yeah, you do. But that's who I am as a coach and as a person. I want to make sure I'm working my butt off to get as good as I possibly can. And sure, you hold on to some of those things. But I don't think Sirianni's really holding on to it that much. Because Sirianni had this to say when asked a little bit further about Andy Reid. It seems like he's actually thankful that Andy Reid sent him on his way in Kansas City. A weird thing to think about, but maybe with 10 years of perspective, that is an opinion that you could develop.
You're down in that moment, right? And I just remember him, you know, bringing me in, telling me that, you know, his assistant head coach was the wide receiver coach. And so that he had a guy. But I remember him lifting me up in that moment, telling me your good things, knowing I'd get back on my feet. Just gave me strength when I was down. I always admired that. And, you know, even though I never got a chance to work with Coach Reid, like him, how he kind of took us, the guys that were there that he was letting go, he brought us in and, you know, and told us. And he kind of gave me a blueprint for what I had to do when I became the head football coach for the Eagles. Like, so even though I didn't, you know, ever work with him, I felt like I gained a valuable lesson from him.
Not going to lie, impressed. That's maturity. And Sirianni's been an interesting person to follow since the Eagles went on this Super Bowl run, and also just since the start of his time in Philadelphia. We'll get back to that in just a second. But I want to tell you how Nick Sirianni indirectly led to a past Houston Texans head coach. So when Andy Reid took over for a coaching staff that was helmed by Romeo Crennel, he brought longtime trusted assistant David Culley with him from Philadelphia to be the passing game coordinator, which is what Sirianni was. Huh. I wonder if David Culley would have ever ended up as the head coach of the Houston Texans if not for that moment in time, if Andy Reid hadn't brought him along. Play a little butterfly effect here before we get into the Texans trip chamber in just a little bit, where you get to just share absolutely crazy Houston Texans takes at 11 o'clock, 713-780-3776. And we'll debate whether or not there's anything to them or if they're just a crazy person's take. But interesting to learn about that. Anyways, as far as Sirianni goes, this is a guy who definitely loves to pander. We have heard him going back and forth with sports talk radio hosts in press conferences, like going out of his way to confront them directly, WIP, the Eagles flagship station. And you also heard him say this about Philadelphia last night at media night.
I feel like I live and coach in the greatest sports town in America. It means so much to everybody there. That's what you want, right? When you're a little kid playing in a peewee football game, you're like, where's everybody? I want them to see us. I want them to see everything that we have to offer them, right? That's what you want. You know, you want your fans to love it. You want your fans to be there. You want them to be wearing green on Friday. You want them to be wearing green on Saturday. You want them to be throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. You want that because that's what we want. We want to be able to put our talents on display. And we're able to do that in the greatest sports town in America.
There's a little pandering going on there. And the more I think about Nick Sirianni, the more I think about myself. And, you know, far be it from me, the egoless sports talk radio show host, compare himself to a coach that's coaching in an actual Super Bowl. Though I've, you know, done that before in a 32-team Madden Online Dynasty. No big deal, but Terrell Pryor was my quarterback. Yeah, got to the championship that way. But that's neither here nor there, guys. There are times where I'm thinking about Nick Sirianni, and I'm like, okay, he panders a little bit. He trolls a little bit. He's clearly very emotional. I feel like I'm a little similar to Nick Sirianni, minus being the Italian part, which is, of course, like the final thing to overcome. And he gets criticized a lot. Julian Love is a player for the New York Giants, and it was last week where Julian Love, while joining Good Morning Football, just crushed Nick Sirianni out of nowhere.
He's a guy who really is doing a great job because he's not getting in the way of his team. He has an experienced roster from top to bottom, offense, defense.
You see this stuff, though? Like, what's your reaction as a player? What's your reaction? And that guy's doing
it. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it at all. I mean, he's in for a free ride right now. You guys can coach this team and you can proceed.
That's what we're looking for.
That's how.
A bulletin board right now.
I mean, come on.
Might not be suited up for the Eagles anytime soon, but that's okay. There's 31 other teams. That's fine.
Exactly right.
He called him a free rider. And I get it. I mean, I think you could make a somewhat similar argument with a lot less merit behind it about, you know, Jalen Hurts as quarterback of this team. I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. I think he's good. I would want him on the Texans, that's for damn sure. I think he's had a great year, but he has a ton around him, as does that Philadelphia Eagles defense. And there are some things that Jalen Hurts can do. Like, again, he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to take away from him and say, like, oh, he's like he's a system guy, or he is a game manager or something like that. But I think Nick Sirianni gets some of that same criticism, and I am really curious to know what we're going to be saying about him after this, because he is one of those polarizing figures that I think, because of the way that he acts and comports himself publicly, is a very easy target for people. So if the Eagles do lose this game, I think there's going to be a lot of people coming after Nick Sirianni in particular. Less so with Jalen Hurts. Sirianni's the guy that I think we're going to be talking about a ton after this game is done. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And by the way, when you think about Nick Sirianni, you should remember this, because DeMeco Ryans had a great start when he introduced himself to the Houston Texans and to everybody here. What does that mean? Nick Sirianni could probably tell you. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.